Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
As much as we've been talking a lot about Brett Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court and everything going on there and all of the allegations and the charges and what's true and what isn't and who can you believe, today as we dive into the issue of domestic abuse in the church, so in the church context, it is not tied to that. Call it some weird coincidence, call it whatever you want to. But we're not going to be talking about Brett Kavanaugh today and what's going on with the Supreme Court nomination. We're going to be talking about domestic abuse in our churches and exposing that hidden problem. Joy Forrest has been on the show before, and it's great to have her back, the founder and executive director of Call to Peace Ministry. So, Joy, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you having us.
You're very welcome. It's great to have you back. And then Pastor Jim Upchurch, who's on the board at Called to Peace Ministries, who's the pastor of Christ Church in Rollsville, North Carolina. Pastor, thanks for coming in today. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Okay, Joy, so we're going to dive into this, and there's a lot going on. Of course, you have another conference coming up October 12th and 13th here in Raleigh, North Carolina at Imago Dei Church, which is Pastor Tony Marita, who's been on the show before, a great church, and an important topic. So let's just kind of kick this off, because I think for a lot of people, the thought of domestic abuse inside the world of the church for Christians, Christian on Christian, is something that perhaps they haven't considered before, but it's obviously a reality.
Absolutely. In fact, the statistics are really no better in the church than they are in the world at large, which is pretty sad.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that the American Medical Association actually suggests that there 1 in 3 women will experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. Other studies say 1 in 4, and studies that have been done on the church and domestic abuse say 1 in 4.
And when we say that, too, because, again, this world that we're in is so crazy. How would you define domestic abuse? Because we've talked about this, the wheel of power, and we've looked at that before when we've had you on the show. And a lot of people, I think, really don't have a kind of a working definition of when do you call it domestic abuse. So what is it?
Well, domestic abuse is characterized by a pattern of behaviors that coercively controlling behaviors. To me, I call it terrorism in the home. So you've got somebody, there's a big inequity in power. There's not a mutuality in that relationship. One is lording it over the other, and the other one's living in fear and is being dominated.
By what methods, though? Because we have the obvious, mm-hmm. which will be physical abuse. Harmful.
Yep.
That could be pushing, pinning somebody down, grabbing them forcefully. I think we all get that. But what are the other ways that one or the other? And we're talking, like, what, 97% of the time it's the man?
Well, for the most part, especially for the physical part, yes.
Yeah.
And we have on that power and control wheel that I showed you in the last show we did that there is financial abuse. So basically this person controls the money, lords over the other person, making them beg for money or not allowing them to work or taking their money if they do work. We have emotional abuse. We have intimidation by just a look. I mean, a lot of people who are victims of domestic abuse, there could be one look that would just, you know, send fear through their hearts, and they know they better straighten up or things are going to get ugly. We got financial, we got emotional intimidation, using the children as weapons against the other partner. And
Male privilege. I've got my cheat sheet in front
of me. You got it? Good, because I'm going blank right now.
Yeah, so there's intimidation, emotional abuse, isolation, minimizing or denying and blaming.
Yes.
Using the children, economic abuse, male privilege and coercion and threats. And so power and control, it all comes down to that. And so that's why we're going to keep talking about this. It's not the most comfortable subject in the world, but it is real and it is happening. And so we're going to address it. So how did you bring a pastor into this conversation? How did you get Jim Upchurch? What did God do to bring him into this conversation with Call to Peace?
Well, our ministry is always looking for pastors who really have a heart for those who are oppressed by abuse. And we had a woman in our support group, probably first semester that we did it in 2017. And she kept going, my pastor told me, because I wasn't quite sure it was abuse. And he showed me this article and he says, is this what you're going through? You're being abused. And she didn't recognize it. But what I appreciated about Jim was that he did his research. He didn't just try to treat it like a regular marital issue.
So the pastor she was talking about was Pastor Jim.
Exactly. And so I said, I got to meet this guy. And I did. And long story short, he ended up on our board.
So when that woman first came to you, Pastor Jim, was that the first time you had dealt with that? And just tell us about your experience from the pulpit side of it, because I've had Joy on several times, but it's rare that we can talk to a pastor about it. So what was your perspective? How did this kind of get going in your world as a pastor?
It got going as what seemed to be just a regular marriage counseling situation. And the more we got into it, the more we saw it wasn't just a regular marriage counseling situation. So Joy says I did a lot of research, and that's because I had to do a lot of research because I had no idea what I was facing. I'd never faced it before.
Were you surprised by it? I'm almost done with my master's degree here. You graduated from Southeastern. I don't think it's something that we probably talk about a lot in the seminary. So did it kind of come out of left field for you? And are you surprised by how often it's actually happening inside the body of Christ?
I was, at the time, surprised. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't looking for that. But the more I researched, the more I saw what was going on. And so at that point, I was surprised. I don't think now I would be surprised seeing what I've seen from Joy and the Call to Peace Ministry. What I've learned from them has helped me to understand just how prevalent it can be even in churches.
Well, what was your reaction, number one, as a pastor, and number two, as a man? How did you react to what you were learning and what you were dealing with?
Well, I think the more that we began talking with the individual separately is really what brought things to clearer light. I think the woman saw that when she could trust us as her pastors and as men, then she began to open up more and more. So, it's hard to answer your question as far as how I reacted to that as a man, but I was surprised. Yeah. And so the way I would respond is I feel like we just kind of got lucky. Yeah. I don't believe in luck. I believe in God's sovereignty.
Sure,
I believe it was in the providence and goodness of God. And yet it was by his grace that we came to right reactions, responses.
And Joy, how common is it to run into a pastor like Jim?
It's very rare. I've been doing this for 20 years. And for the most part, pastors try to just apply. And not just pastors, counselors. They don't get a lot of training on it. And so they try to apply the rules of marital counseling onto it, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it's kind of square peg, round hole in that situation. We're talking to Joy Forrest, who's the founder and the executive director of Called to Peace Ministries, as well as Pastor Jim Upchurch. CalledToPeace.org is the website, October 12th and 13th. That's a Friday night and a Saturday at Imago Day Church here in Raleigh. We'll talk about that conference and what's going on there. We'll continue to unpack this important topic when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's good to be with you today talking about a difficult subject, which you could tie it to the whole Brett Kavanaugh thing, and it's certainly a topic of discussion these days. But domestic abuse, and specifically domestic abuse that's going on inside the body of Christ, which I know for some of you might be hard to hear or hard to believe, but we've got a lot of the same problems that you have outside the body of Christ. We're not immune to that. But one of the things that's a challenge for all of us is I think we like to play like everything's good. You know, you see each other on Sunday morning, and you know, how you doing, brother? Oh, too blessed to be depressed and all that kind of stuff. And we're not very vulnerable. We're not very transparent. We're not authentic. And we don't talk about these things. We kind of push them down, whether it's domestic abuse, as we're talking about right now, or sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, pornography. There's all kinds of things that we don't want to talk about that are going on all throughout the church. And we do that to our peril, and it's unloving for each other, and it's just a bad witness. So, and there's a lot of hurting people. So today we're talking to Joy Forrest, who's the founder and the executive director of Called to Peace Ministries. That's Called to Peace, T-O, calledtopeace.org, where you can also get the information. I threw it up on Facebook a second ago on the Facebook live feed. So if you want to join us there, just go to our Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show, and you can jump in the video there, and you'll see the link. But calledtopeace.org is the website, and they have the conference coming up here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Friday night, October 12th, and then Saturday, October 13th. At Imago Day Church, and all kinds of topics which we're going to get to. But just generally, real quick, Joy, who is that conference for? Who should be there? Who should consider being there? Who should sign up?
Well, as always, our conferences are going to have helpful information for people who are survivors of domestic violence and emotionally destructive relationships and even sexual assault. But we really are trying to focus this one or to have some specific information for church leaders, pastors, church leaders, and other people helpers. So counselors would benefit from it as well. So anybody who wants to help, if you've got a loved one in a domestic violence situation, it would be great information for you.
Yeah, because kind of overcoming is really the focus of this conference. So God's Heart for the Oppressed, these are just the different messages that are going on, plus breakout sessions. Common barriers to getting help, overcoming common legal system challenges, overcoming common church barriers, which we'll talk about, overcoming beliefs that keep us oppressed, overcoming overwhelming emotions, overcoming the effects of trauma, and using the word over and over and over again, overcoming. But this creates huge walls for people that are involved in this, for the abused mostly, but for the abuser as well. But to take us down this road, because this is your own story, Joy. You were in a marriage where you were abused like this. And what's generally the process if we're going to see some healing? And include, like, Pastor Jim and a church's role in all of this.
Well, when I was coming out of the abuse, it got very deadly. And if it weren't for friends, I had a ladies' Bible study who stepped up to the plate and helped me. My own pastor didn't really know how to handle it, but these ladies, I don't know if I'd be here today because of what they did and other friends in the community. So without help, I don't think it's possible to get out. You are, a lot of times you talked about isolation or financial abuse. People who are abusive put up these barriers on purpose to keep people, to disempower and to keep people in bondage. So that's, number one is that they're going to have help. And then the church, we would love for them to come alongside, but as you turn in every direction when you're coming out of an abusive situation or when you're in it, you're going to find barriers. Legal system, attorneys don't get it, judges don't get it. Unless you have somebody with specific knowledge, counselors, go in for counseling. They want to do marital counseling. It doesn't work. Go into the church. The church, same thing. They want to do that, or they'll say, well, you absolutely can't leave. You know, God hates divorce. They'll quote these scriptures and actually sometimes add to the abuse inadvertently by, you know, keeping them in bondage, not understanding the magnitude of the situation. And, of course, as victims, a lot of times we don't tell the full story either. It's like Jim said, we have to feel like we can trust someone before we tell the whole story.
Well, Pastor Jim, from your perspective, from a pastoral perspective, as you were learning, what are some of the things that were kind of real eye-opening for you in terms of learning about this process, what's going on, and especially how to help the women that are involved in this? And yes, there are some men that are the victims of domestic abuse, but the overwhelming majority are women.
Right. I think some of the things that really stood out to me were things about what Joy's pushing. It's education, things that we were learning where you can identify that abusive things are taking place, things I didn't know about. But then once you begin to learn all of those tactics, you learn motives, you learn about these things, and then you're able to spot them more clearly. That really sticks out to me, that once you get the education, it's easier to identify. Otherwise, you don't know what you're looking for.
Right, and that's why Joy's mentioned this every time she's been on the show, and she's mentioned it a couple times just today, which is you approach a domestic abuse situation with like it's marital counseling. And so did that make sense to you as you were learning that these are actually two separate things? And then how do you address the issue where people say, well, you can't leave your husband. You can't get divorced. God hates divorce. How do you deal with those two different things?
Well, yeah, that did make sense. I don't know. I think it made sense from the education point of view. I saw many people saying, people I trusted saying, you can't treat this just like any ordinary marriage problem.
Yeah, it's nice.
You need to separate them. Yeah, you need to separate them because each of them have issues they need to work on themselves. So we learned from that very early on. And then what was the second question?
Yeah, just dealing with that in terms of the church kind of just taking God hates divorce, so you shouldn't separate, you shouldn't leave your husband. And that is kind of a black and white approach.
Right. I think you have to have a plan about what is this going to look like in the next weeks, few months. And so elders, church leaders need to decide what is this going to look like in our situation with our particular theological distinctives. What will that look like? Is it a problem separating them physically so that they can begin working on some of those issues? And we didn't think that it was. We thought it was necessary in that situation to be able to deal with the problems.
Yeah, especially from a safety standpoint, emotional, right, physical, absolutely, spiritual, and financial joy, that would seem to make sense to me. But do you kind of run into that problem a lot in the church? Kind of a simple God hates divorce application to a domestic violence situation?
Yeah, we'd say the common counsel is pray, stay, and obey. And so it really is. It's like double abuse for the victims, you know, because they feel like they're up against the wall. They feel like they have no options. And then they go there and they get a door slammed in their face and they go to the legal system and the same thing may happen. So it is very frustrating all around. And so it's wonderful. I mean, knowledge is power. And, you know, Hosea 4:6, people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's like Jim said, without understanding the dynamics, you're more likely to do more harm than good. I don't know if you saw, I did an interview with Dr. Aiken, who's the president of the seminary here. Yeah. And he was saying, you know, we've just missed it as a church. And that's what our message is. We've missed it, but we don't have to keep missing it. We want people to come and get educated.
And so once you get some pastors and some churches coming to the table, what do you generally see happening? Obviously, we have Pastor Jim's a great example at his church at Christ Church here in Rollsville, North Carolina. But is it really difficult to get churches and pastors to come to this table, and why?
I think I've talked to some pastors, and they say, well, we don't really have a problem, that much of a problem in our church.
How would they know that?
Yeah, well, partly because, you know, they're looking at what they see with, you know, every Sunday. Like you said, everybody puts on their pretty face for Sunday, and then...
So I don't have any ladies in the pews with black eyes.
Probably so not, no, yeah. And then the other thing is, how would they know?
Yeah, well, hold that thought. We'll get to it. We're coming up on a break. By the way, we've got 5 copies of Joy's book, which is called To Peace. We've got 5 copies right here in the studio. We'd love to send you one. So if you want to get one of those, 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number. We just need your name and your email, 866-34-TRUTH, for a copy of Called to Peace, which will help you down this road. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show talking about Justice to Light, which is just the name of a conference coming up here in Raleigh, North Carolina, exposing the hidden problem of domestic abuse in our churches. And this is with Joy Forrest, who's called to Peace Ministries. And you got your master's degree in counseling here at Southeastern, right?
Yeah.
And your personal story, just for people that haven't heard you on the show before, Joy, just share your personal story real quick, just kind of the short version. We know each other. I'm not degrading the seriousness of your experience, but just give people, just for the sake of them understanding your background, how did this play out in your own life?
Well, I was married to someone I dated him for 8 years, but during high school and college, and then we got married, and we were married for 15 years. There was no physical abuse until about 2 years into the marriage, and during the time that we were married, I reached out. I count at least 12 different sets of counselors and pastors, and nobody really knew how to help us. Towards the end, it got so deadly that I had no choice but to leave. And my own beliefs kept me from going because I did not believe in divorce until, you know, finally my 12-year-old daughter says, Mom, why don't you just get out? And I said, well, God hates divorce. And she looked at me and said, Mom, he hates divorce, but he's going to hate it a lot more when my mom is dead.
Yeah.
And so, you know, finally getting the strength to get out. You know, your mind, your thoughts are so warped and your beliefs. So it took a while, but, you know, with God's word, his people, I was able to get out. And just really determined that because I knew how hard it was for me to get out, that if I ever got out alive, I would help other people who were in the same situation.
And how long were you in that situation?
Oh, well, a total of 23 years.
Cool. And that's where... and we're going to speak to this because there's a process and we're going to talk about this. By the way, if you want to get a copy of Joy's book, Called to Peace, just give us a call. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, Called to Peace, A Survivor's Guide to Finding Peace and Healing After Domestic Abuse. We have 5 copies to give away. We just need your name and your email address, and then we'll get your mailing address and we'll get it out to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Is the phone number, or 866-348-7884, because a lot of people would sit there and go, well, why would you stay in so long? It's easier to say that from the outside, right? That for us, that just go, why would you stay such a long period of time? But because there's no way, you don't see a way out. So most women in this situation just feel trapped, which is part of the deal with the abuse, right? Anyway, because it's control and power.
Yeah. I remember thinking one time, the only way out is for somebody to die. That's what I felt. Wow. Yeah. I want to mention for the book that that book is also going to be good for people who want to know how to help loved ones people helpers. So,
yeah. Called to Peace. We have five copies. 866-348-7884. We'd love to give these away today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Now, let's talk about the process. And then when whatever the church's part is in this process, then I'd like to involve Pastor Jim in it. But there has to be a process to kind of get out of this and through it, right? I would imagine.
Yeah. And I think that it goes completely contrary to what we as evangelical Christians like to do. But it usually starts with, if there's a safety issue, there's got to be a separation.
Yeah.
Get them out of the house. And usually for people who are abusive, they're not used to having consequences. They're used to getting their way. So some kind of consequence, including that separation, is number one. It's important. If they will not be motivated to change as long as there are no consequences. And so
they're getting away with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's something called the four pillars of domestic abuse. And one of them is basically fewer little consequences. The consequences usually go to the victim. You know, I've seen that so many times. But, you know, they're basically feeling very, very stuck. And these folks feel very, very empowered. So there's this very uneven power dynamic. And so is there another part of that question?
Just the whole process. Because I was going to ask you, Jim, as a pastor, for me, as a husband, as a father, as a man and a man of God, my tendency in that situation, my immediate thought is to protect the woman because she's the weaker vessel. And ladies, if you don't like to hear that, go study your Bible. But I'm not offending you. But the weaker that we need to protect and get in there and separate them. That's like if you're driving home and you see your neighbor beating the tar out of his wife. I'm not going to throw a tract at him and pray. I might pray as I'm trying to throttle the guy and get him to the ground. But don't we have a role as godly men to protect the women in these situations?
Absolutely. I think one of the roles of pastors is to protect the flock.
Shepherd, right.
To shepherd them. So we know them. We know individual members as well as the church. We feed the flock. We lead the flock. And we protect the flock. Usually we think of that in terms of theological error, which is an important role that we play. But I think coming down to a practical way that pastors should care for their church is by protecting them, especially in cases of abuse.
Because you mentioned this, Joy, off the air, that if the pastor just finds out about it, then goes and confronts the husband in this case, as there's most of them, that actually could increase the danger to the wife.
Absolutely. I mean, in fact, we've seen that many times. There's just so many things that if you misstep with this, you could put somebody in huge danger. And that's one of the things we want to talk about. We're going to have a do's and don'ts section in one of our breakout sessions for people helpers and pastors. We're gonna unpack that whole plan. What does it look like? How should you handle it? We are not here to promote divorce, but there is let's just say it does take two people to make a marriage. You get to the end. What we usually do is that separation period. We will work with the individuals, the husband and the wife. And if there is true repentance, and really and truly, I think that the victim is the only one who can measure that because they know the looks.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what will happen is
– And the abuser could say, I repent. Do it in front of the church. Do it in front of the church family. But that's going to take some time for that to actually be believable.
Oh, absolutely. And churches fall for it all the time. I've seen women undergo church discipline because he was repentant. He's doing all his homework, but only she knows that look that can instill fear. She's the only one that knows what's going to, what the consequences might be of certain things that she does, whereas the church is missing it altogether because it's just over their heads. They're like, I didn't see him do anything wrong.
What percentage of abuse situations end in divorce?
You know what? I've never really looked at those statistics, but I'd say really
pretty high,
probably 80, 90%.
Because there's so much damage that's done.
Yeah. And part of that is, too, that churches don't know how to, and counselors don't even know how to deal with it very effectively. They don't get very much training. And, I think that the church is in a unique position to actually change that statistic because it really takes somebody walking alongside an abuser if you're going to see them come into true repentance, discipleship. And I don't see many churches willing to, really roll up their sleeves and get dirty.
Yeah, because if we separate them, and then I think the tendency would be that we're going to focus on, which most of the time, the one being abused, which most of the time is the wife. And the husband doesn't really get the attention that he obviously needs.
Right.
You don't just cast him aside and say, well, he's a scumbag. Leave, you know, you're out of here, dude. Yeah. I mean, we should be trying to disciple both of them, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. We're having our conference at Imago Dei Church, and they've had a situation that I've been involved with, and they have done that. I mean, it's so rare to see it, but I mean, it's taken time out of this pastor's life who's coming alongside this guy. And I'm like, boy, this is not your average pastor, you know, because it's taken hours, you know, sometimes emergency text on the weekends and things like that.
Now, Pastor Jim, in having gone through seminary, is this a subject that gets taught in a seminary class?
I can't say now. I know I didn't go through it. I have a Master of Arts in Christian Education. We had some counseling classes. I don't remember really having practical discussions about how to deal with abuse. And we're on the wave of really church and society dealing with it. So maybe that's something that will come in up more to play in the future.
And Joy, for a lot of pastors and churches, is it that they don't care, or is that that they don't know, they're not trained, they don't know how to handle it? And because we tend to pull away from the things that we don't feel equipped to deal with.
Well, I think that's it right there. It's like, I don't know what to do, so I just won't do anything sometimes. Maybe that's the mentality, or let somebody else deal with it. Or one thing I've heard very often is, oh, it's a judicial matter, just call the police, have them arrested. Well, not if we're talking about a pattern of coercive control. Most of that's not illegal, so that doesn't work.
They might get a slap on the wrist, and unless it was really badly physical,
mm-hmm.
then you can press charges. But most of the time, they're not going to.
Yeah, most abuse is not physical. And so basically what you're doing is, by doing nothing, you're empowering the sin of the abuser.
Yeah, which is really disturbing. You mentioned a survey that you guys either did or you saw this, 200 domestic abuse survivors, and 83% of them asked, was the church helpful? 83% of them said no.
Right.
And it's probably been that way for a while, would be my guess. I don't know that there's ever been a time that the church was really good at it.
Actually, I think the church has improved. I've seen some churches starting to really wake up. I've been doing a series with pastors who have been doing a better job on our Vimeo channel. And so we are starting to see more and more get it. And I think maybe it's the Me Too movement or whatever it may be. We're just really grateful that that's happening.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and the Kavanaugh thing, like I mentioned before, helps put a light on this.
Yes.
It's not an exact comparison. It's not the same exact thing, but it does bring up the issue. And that's why we're also talking about Justice to Light, exposing the hidden problem of domestic abuse in our churches. That's the conference that Call to Peace is putting on October 12th and 13th here in Raleigh, North Carolina at Imago Dei Church. A little birdie told me that they're going to try to live stream that. Not sure which platform, Facebook, YouTube, not sure yet, but hopefully that'll be live streamed as well. So if you're listening in another city in North Carolina or another state altogether, hopefully you'll be able to access that too. October 12th and 13th, calledtopeace.org is the website. We'll talk some more about what's going on in the conference and who should be there when we come back. If you're a child of the 80s, you knew you could wait for that musical segment right there, because it's David Bowie, and that has nothing to do with the show today. I don't even know why I mentioned that, because I'm 52 and my mind wanders. So anyway, here today talking about something way more important than David Bowie, obviously, is domestic abuse. Called to Peace is the ministry. Joy Forrest started that several years ago. She's the founder and the executive director of Called to Peace Ministries. CalledToPeace.org is the website. That's CalledToPeace.org. peace.org. And there you can also find the information for the conference that's coming up just in about a week and a half on October 12th and 13th. That's a Friday night and a Saturday, Justice to Light, exposing the hidden problem of domestic abuse in our churches. And we're here talking to Joy, as well as Pastor Jim Upchurch from Christ Church here in Rollsville, North Carolina, really close to Wake Forest and Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live and broadcast from. But one of the questions I wanted to bring up and go down this road again right quick, Joy, and then we'll talk specifically about the conference and who's going to be speaking and what are the topics and who should be there. Is, and we were talking about this off the air, is it common for both the men and the women, the abuser, the abused, to not be readily available. They're not willing to call it abuse. They set this unusually high bar. Like, if you don't look like Rocky Balboa after 12 rounds, then you're not abused, and your husband or whatever just has a bad day every once in a while. Is that a big challenge to actually call it what it is?
Absolutely. In fact, a lot of the women that are in our local support groups come on recommendation of a counselor, and most of them think that they're not supposed to be there. Well, he doesn't really hit me. And I was telling you before we got back on that I stood in front of a judge even after I had been pounded and told the judge this has not been an abusive relationship. And I think, you know, to me it was unfortunate. The terminology battering just made me feel like he had to be punching me on a regular basis for it to be abusive. I didn't understand it was that pattern of behaviors, which I would just call, you know, maybe a toxic relationship or a lot of extreme control. But I never saw it as abusive. And that's what we see with just most of the women that come into us.
Yeah, and so that's probably a challenge with a conference whenever you kind of open the doors, is people will not define themselves as, in most cases, I'm not abused. It's bad, but I'm not abused. So if you say an unhealthy relationship, a broken relationship, a hurtful relationship, when you lower the bar, then more people kind of say, okay, that's me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen that. Sometimes when we change our terminology, then the floodgates open. But on this one, we actually said domestic abuse. So.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, it's not abusive. And as you were saying, even the abusers, they want to deny it because they're not necessarily hitting or, you know, they may block an exit to the room so that she can't get out, or they may shove or, you know, just belittle and name call and things like that. But it's not. Nobody's getting pummeled, so it can't be abuse, right?
Yeah, and that's where the power and control wheel, which we talk about every time you're on, and I'm looking at a copy of it. I put a link up to it on Facebook just now for the Facebook Live a broadcast. But intimidation, making her afraid by using looks, actions, and gestures. There's emotional abuse, putting her down, making her feel bad about herself. Isolation, controlling what she does, who she sees and talks to, minimizing, denying, and blaming, making light of the abuse and not taking her concerns about it seriously, using the children, making her feel guilty about the children, using the children to relay messages, economic abuse, preventing her from getting or keeping a job, making her ask for money. You can see how that would work. Male privilege, treating her like a servant, making all the big decisions, acting like the master of the castle, you know, shut up and submit. And coercion and threats, making and or carrying out threats to do something to hurt her, threatening to leave her, commit suicide, report her to welfare, whatever it is. And so that's that. The reality is, do people have a problem with calling that abuse? Like, oh, you're overreacting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, we see it all the time. And I'd like to add one to that one. We could call spiritual abuse, which is, you know, just pounding her with scriptures and telling her that she has to stay. She has to submit to that. You know, and again, all the scriptures that get taken out of context.
Yeah. Pastor Jim, was that a difficult or challenging transition to what you were willing to call abuse? Because I think the first time I talked to Joy, I was like, really? That's abuse? That seems like a pretty low bar. But the reality, first of all, I've never been abused, so it's easy for me to say that. I'm a man, number two, it's easy for me to say that. But was it a bit of a challenge to kind of understand these definitions and it's okay to call these things abuse because, in fact, that's what it is?
I think so. The transition happened pretty quickly, I think. I was working with two other elders, and us talking with one another really helped. And I think what you mentioned was right on with where I was, too. Pastors are often unwilling to say it's abuse because, well, I've never been through anything like that.
Right.
I have no concept of what that is like, and I have no frame of reference for believing that's abuse. But once we were able to make the turn, once we were able to look at definitions together, the power and control wheel, once we were able to look at those things together and Matt, we just played matching game. I mean, we were just matching. That's there, that's there,
yeah, the
that's
shoe
there.
Fits.
And then we had to conclude.
I mean, what pastor wants to say, tell me a little bit about your congregation. Well, you know, they're pretty good. You know, and I have five or six abusers. And they go, hold on a second, what'd you just say? You know, you've got abusers in your church. The reality is we probably have abusers in every church. So let's turn the corner, Joy, and talk about this conference. Who should be there? Some of the sessions that are going on. What's the main purpose? But really, let's start with who should be there.
Well, I'm going to back up just a
smidgen. Sure, go ahead.
Because our biblical category for this is oppression, and there's an awful lot to say.
Wow,
the Bible
yeah.
has an awful lot to say about oppression,
sure
and we're
does.
Talking about, again, this uneven power dynamic. So who should be there is anybody who wants to learn how to help. Again, we're talking about the barriers and the injustices that abuse victims face on a regular basis, and how can you help if you don't understand their plight? We really want people to get a view of what it's like to be to walk in an abused person's shoes for a while. We always at our conferences have survivors who are telling little bits of their story because it's not who you expect it to be. They're going, whoa, she was abused?
Yeah.
People are surprised. In fact, after a couple of our conferences, we've had counselors walk up to some of our survivors and apologize for missing it.
Wow.
So we always want to have, you know, survivors come because we'll provide resources, but we always want to have helpers come as well. And we would love to have church leaders, pastors, small group leaders, women's ministry leaders to please come and learn more. Because again, it's like Jim says, if you don't understand the dynamics, you're going to be very likely to miss it altogether. Yeah. And you could end up contributing to someone staying in an oppressive and very dangerous situation. I mean, there's been murders. Even in our area, there was one a church here in Wake Forest lost a member last year, and I don't think they had any clue it was going on.
So sad.
But if you are you know, once you learn these signs, then maybe you're going to be quicker to offer help to somebody just in time to help save a life.
Yeah. So, but it's not just for the helpers; it's for the people that feel like perhaps I'm being abused too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Always. Every one of our conferences, we're going to do a spring conference called Free Indeed at the beach in May. With domestic, just that one will be specifically
for survivors. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And a survivor, that you could be a survivor and still be in it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So if you're engaged in it at all, if you're experiencing this, yes. Or if you're out of it,
yeah.
But let's talk about some of the sessions and some of the topics that are going to be covered there.
So on Friday night, we've got Tony Marita from Imago Dei talking about God's heart for the oppressed. And again, like I said, this is the biblical category. People are like, well, the power and control wheel is not biblical. Absolutely it is. If you start looking at Proverbs and the fool and the different characteristics of a fool, and you see all throughout the Old Testament and even in the New where, you know, God hates oppression.
And the love norm, too, in general.
Yeah.
It's going to come against everything that you look at in that power and control wheel. I can take you into the scriptures and go make a case. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. I mean, the power and control wheel was based on observation. It's not somebody they didn't pull it out of thin air. It was based on observation of about 300 women who were going through it. We joke in our support groups that there must be a school for abusers because they use the same tactics.
Wow.
It's unbelievable how similar they are.
Yeah, it's called human depravity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll talk about the common barriers to getting help. This is Monica McInnes, who's from Safe Space up in Lewisburg. She's going to talk about the financial barriers and just, you know, the many, many, and just, you know, having to enter the workforce if you've been a stay-at-home mom for all these years. She'll be talking about those kinds of practical barriers.
Because those barriers will make the abuse, I guess you could almost call it tolerable. Yeah. I can't get out. I can't get a job. I can't support myself. If I take the kids, how am I going to pay the bills?
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. I mean, they feel like they have no options. I mean, we see women, there is a thing called reproductive abuse where they are not allowed to use birth control. We've had people with up to 11 children.
Wow.
We're not allowed to use birth control. So when they get out, they cannot
afford
to live. You know, if they don't have any education to get a good job.
Yeah.
And so they really, really feel stuck.
Which is why the church should be such an awesome resource in all of that.
Absolutely.
That's a
no-brainer. Whatever happened to the widow's fund that they talk about
to
Timothy?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, the legal system.
We have Tiffany Lesnick, who is also a survivor herself, but she's an attorney down in Raleigh, and she's going to be talking about legal challenges. One of the things that has been very, very eye-opening to me is how many of the women that we work with end up losing or having the threat of losing custody of their children. They're good moms, but they just don't have the money for an attorney. A lot of times, attorneys don't recognize the dynamics of abuse, neither do judges. And so a lot of times, and this is one thing we try to work with the victims on, is the way they present, they're kind of like a basket case. Like, no, because their mama bear is trying to protect their kids. The abuser tends to be cool, calm, and collected and has the money, so they end up winning in court.
And then overcoming common church barriers, overcoming beliefs that keep us oppressed, overcoming depression, overcoming the effects of trauma. All of these things will be going on, plus the breakout sessions at Called to Peace Ministries Conference coming up October 12th and 13th. That's a Friday night and a Saturday, and hopefully this will also be live stream. You can get the information at calledtopeace.org. That's C-A-L-L-E-D-T-O-P-E-A-C-E.org. fridaynightpeace.org. Again, that's Friday night, October 12th and Saturday, October 13th here at Imago Dei Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pastor Jim, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
And being a part of the conversation. Joy, always great to see you.
Thank you.
And thanks for helping us with this. Remember again, and I'll post it on Facebook, but October 12th and 13th, calledtopeace.org is the website you need to go to. Whether you want to help, or whether you think that you're in an abusive relationship or are even thinking about it, contemplating it, get that information and get some help. This is Steve Noble. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon and ever forward.